Welcome to episode 57 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is October 28th, 2012. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my Giants teammate, James Furlough.
Yeah! So I was reading your tweet from earlier this evening, and it said, Buster Posey could punch me in the face, steal my beer, and buy the company I work for just to fire me, and I'd still think he's awesome.
Yep.
That's quite the endorsement.
He's the coolest. Yeah, man. Pretty Buster Posey. I ain't even jealous of the fact that every girl that I've ever had any interest in likes him more than they'll ever like me. Whatever. You know, he deserves it.
You're okay with that. All right, I gotcha.
All yeah. Right. No.
So Buster, they're what, they're doing what? They're doing really well in football right now? Is that the deal? With Eli Manning, they're just playing well?
I hate you so much.
That's cool.
No, James. It is game four, game elimination for the Tigers, San Francisco Giants, World Series, baby. The whole wide world, every baseball playing team in the whole world got considered if they should be in this playoffs. And ironically, only American teams, but we still call it the World Series. And the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, they beat the Tigers down so hard three times in a row, and they're in the middle of the ninth inning, and it's tied.
Wow.
And it was really hard for me to come and sit down. Matt Cain was pitching.
So are you going to give us the live update?
Oh, baby. Unfortunately, because we have a little bit of constrained bandwidth, I can only do the Google search, which gives me just the score. So I have, like, no idea, how it's going.
All right. But I understand. I'll help you out. I'll help you out. All right. So, cool. So you're totally distracted. That's fine. I think I should have...
I'm going to try to stay focused, man.
I should have MLB. Oh, I do have MLB. Ooh, it's 3-3. Yeah. Top of the ninth.
I know. There's been a couple of home runs, a whole 9 yards. Dang. Hey, the pitcher, the Giants pitcher, he was the dude who threw the perfect game earlier this season. Matt Cain, that guy's nuts. Oh, man.
That's amazing. Well, welcome to the Furlough Bros Sports Show for the next inning.
This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology. Unlike every week, we'll probably be talking a little bit baseball. but, you know, it all sort of has to do with this big, you know, soap opera type thing that we get into of, you know, the different players that are involved and mm-hmm. what they're trying to do. And this was this week for, you know, for the tech companies was sort of like a playoffs game coming into the final the final quarter, Christmas. I'm trying to pull it in. I'm not even going to try. I'm just a big fan of Giants, and we're doing the show right now, so we're going to do a little bit of both. But we will be talking about the soap opera of corporations, dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing with a little bit of Giants. Before we get into the heart of the show, James is going to give us a short disclosure.
Yeah, I work for HP. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of their opinions. So I should always say I when referring to HP stuff. And if I say we, I really meant to say I.
Duly noted.
That was no frills.
No. He's focused. If you want to follow us throughout the week, as James pointed out, we make all sorts of crazy, fun, and interesting educational tweets throughout the week. If you want to,
I don't know about educational, but sure.
Yeah, it's not really educational. But if you want to follow us throughout the week, you can follow us at Twitter. My Twitter handle is @MatthewDFurlough.
I am @JamesFurlough.
And if you want to keep up to date on, what exactly is going on in the tech industry, we both pipe all of our thoughts into App Furlough Bros, and that's a good place to check us out and see what we're talking about. So hit it up. And if you're listening to this show, and I'm gonna start saying this. If you're listening to the show and you like it and you appreciate it, we really appreciate the fact that you're listening. And if you want, this to keep on going, we'd really appreciate it if you told a friend that you thought would be interested, because there's nothing like word of mouth and people, you are listeners telling your friends and mentioning us and helping us out. We'd appreciate that a ton. More than just liking us or listening to us or whatever, but actually, using real words and talking to people. Crazy.
Using real words. All right.
IRL in real life. Yeah, we'd appreciate that a lot. That'd be great. Also, if you want to get all the content like articles and movies and videos or audio or anything that we do during the week, you can go to furloughbros.com, and that's where we put all the clicks and links and interesting information. That is definitely educational. If you're into such things. So, yeah, pretty exciting. All right, man. Because I come up first. I'm up to bat first. So this week, MIT made a little bit of an, or a team from MIT got a little bit of attention for what they were working on, what they're calling a bandwidth breakthrough. This is pretty exciting. So one of the big things that everybody talks about all the time, like all the time, incessantly, is this idea that we're going to run out of bandwidth. It's the broadband crunch. There's not enough different frequencies for the number of devices out there and the amount of data. And so pretty soon here, we're going to have this bottleneck, and it's just going to ruin the whole world, and
Yeah,
everyone
it's done.
will starve to death and die. That's pretty much the predictions. And if you listen to the show, you will remember, I have every time we talk about it, I always say we'll figure out a way. We'll open up more bandwidth. We'll do other sorts of, we'll speed things up. We'll do some sort of compression. We will figure out a way to make do with the amount of bandwidth that we have. We always do. We always will. Well, there was a breakthrough this week, and this is the sort of thing I'm talking about. Obviously, it's going to be, as time goes on, it's a continual development. But basically, what these guys did was they looked at the data packets that were being sent from like Wi-Fi routers or your LTE towers, stuff like that, and they basically said, "Look, we think we can take the data that you're sending, and we can compress it to the point where it's basically using a complicated algebraic equation. We can send data that unpacks itself to really, really robust data packet." So basically, if you know anything about like when you send data packets wirelessly, sometimes ones and zeros go missing or they get inverted. Weird stuff happens. So you can't just send a message and expect it to get there in total. So like the first trick everybody will usually do is they'll like you have a message and you send it three times, and basically the receiver end goes, "Okay, I checked it. It's the same on all three, so I got a good message." Or two of them are the same, but one of them's different, so I'm going to assume the two that are the same are good. Or,
Right.
depending on the scheme, there's different ways for them to make sure that they communicate. Well, that's what they call, it's a form of like backwards error checking. It's an error correcting scheme. One of the things that you can do, though, is what's called a forward error correcting, which is basically you send the information in such a way that you don't actually send the information. You send like a system of data points that unpacks into something that can error correct very easily. And basically what these guys came up with was just a really brilliant way of doing that. It's as robust as Wi-Fi or LTE currently is, which means that like I think they're only allowed to have, it's something insane. Like it's a 99.99% success of the actual packet getting there that's supposed to get
That's
there.
amazing.
It's really high, and these guys are keeping pace with that. So they're licensing the technology, and they're building it into LTE towers and getting on cell phones and Wi-Fi routers and everything. So over the next, few years, This will definitely expand and become bigger and bigger. And what's really crazy is they said that this can this will benefit any IP network, which means that your routers will actually have smaller data packets that are routing through them. So even the landline, our backbone network will increase in speed based on this technological leap. So this one's pretty huge. This is actually a pretty awesome breakthrough. And so if you're getting bad service in New York City, never fear. MIT's got your back, and they're going to be they're doing a little bit of algebra and saving the world.
Which
That's
I
what
think
I'm
is
talking about,
awesome,
though.
just for the record. I think algebra and data can solve all sorts of problems. So this is just another example to go get an education. Study some math. That's cool. I have lots of it's kind of fun. I'll have lots of work experiences
Yeah.
where people will actually like a lot of people use like Solver or they'll use like VBA or stuff like that to like do stuff in their Excel models. And this is actually one of my secrets of productivity and why I am very good at my job. I am good at algebra. So I don't need to learn VBA because I just solve the equation backwards, using algebra, and then you just plug the number in and let Excel do its thing. And it's really nice to have that skill, and that's cool to see it in practice where they're like, "Hey, here's a crazy idea. Let's tell the receiver what the packet should look like so when it sees it, it goes, 'Hey, cool, you match.' Or if there's a missing piece, it goes, I don't worry about it. We know what the rest of you is supposed to look like. We'll fill in the gaps." Which kind of, in some ways, kind of like begs the question of why do you need the whole thing if this just fills in the gaps for you? I can imagine a scenario where eventually it's like, if we send this framework and we get good enough at it, we only need to actually send you like 75% of the data, 50% of the data, and you can figure out the rest as long as we're strategic about what 50% to send you.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, if let's say it's a text message that they're sending, the text message won't send, a text message is each letter has a set of ones and zeros that's like 8 bits long, your ANSI characters. Well, they don't actually send them with the algebra they're doing, they don't send that data. They send another type of data that when uncompressed equals the data that you're trying to send. And they use all sorts of crazy error checking and stuff, and it ends up that the data packet, instead of being 140 times 8 characters, so instead of a text message is 140, so 800 and shoot, I hate math, 800 and no 8,320 data bits. It compresses it down to a far smaller number, and you get that end result. And what's crazy is that it's not just, it's well compressed in that if there's mistakes in what they sent you, it still decompresses to the right thing, which is just blows my mind. There's
Yeah,
some smart people out there.
just for the record, I noticed how you're having struggling with that computation there.
Yeah.
When I say that people should learn math, I'm not talking about computations. They have computers for that.
Yeah.
It's more like getting the mathematical concept down is what's important. Sure, there's some basic computational skills you should have, I agree, but I don't think it's important to be able to do that kind of stuff in your head, or heck, even with a piece of paper, other than to say, "Hey, I did it." But
Yeah, I think it's important to understand what's going on, but yeah, it's not, you're wasting your time if you're not using the calculator. You really are.
So that's cool that MIT
Yeah.
is doing some algebra and helping us out. I like it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
Very
cool.
cool.
So, this one's not nearly as serious, I guess is the way to put it. It's awesome. So, apparently, Justin Bieber has cancer, and so he's shaving his head for the
Yeah.
impending cancer treatment.
I feel bad for the Biebs,
Yeah, except for the fact that it's not true at all.
Yeah.
Which makes it even funnier because it was someone put, you know, Photoshopped something together and started sharing it out, and you know, that's how that stuff works, and on Twitter it must be true. Yeah, it's awesome. So Bieber fans are also shaving their heads in support of his cancer treatment because they saw it on Twitter.
So I'm assuming we're talking awesome. Bieber fans. We're not talking 40-year-old men that were already half bald. We're talking 13 to 17-year-old girls with long hair that they've been taking care of for the last, you know.
So I'm not going to say that it's well, how do I want to say it? There is a video in this blog post of a radio show that are shaving the heads of moms who have Bieber fever and not short hair. And
oh,
just
geez.
Like, here it goes. And they're like, yeah, we're doing it for the Biebs. Like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Hoaxes are awesome. And with Twitter, man, if you do a good enough job, oh my word, it can tailspin super fast.
Twitter is pretty cool. It's a very powerful tool, but you've got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty fun. I just love it. LOL, dumb idiot kids.
LOL, lol.
Classic internet. But, yeah, just funny. I don't know. I love the internet sometimes when you hear stuff where it's just people are doing things. Why not? Yeah, I'm going to shave my head.
Yeah, that's a... Man, I shaved my head, but it wasn't for a dumb reason. Oh my gosh. I'd feel really bad. I would feel bad for a girl that, you know... Well, you know what? I was going to say, I would feel bad if, like, a young girl in, like, middle school or high school did that. And you're like, wow, that's, like, really cruel. Why would you? But you're talking moms. Like, you should know better. I don't have any – once you get to, like, legal voting age, you should be able to see through that kind of stuff. you're kind of getting what you deserve. I don't know. But
I love it. The next Bieber concert will probably look like a neo-Nazi convention. Oh man.
Oh,
yeah, now that because they made a hashtag, it was Bald for Bieber, and on the when it first went out, I mean, it was it was. I mean, you could see. I mean, there were definitely like some tweets that are like, "This is a total hoax, total lie," and people are like, "Oh, I support Biebs. I'm going to shave my head right now." I'm like, what? Oh, it was awesome. Now they're all just kind of like, hey, teacher, hoax teaches kids to fact check before shaving their heads.
The lighter side of internet cruelty.
I do actually have another fact checking related story, but I'll let you go first. And then.
All right, cool. First things first, game is tied at the ninth inning. So I guess it looks like they're going into OT, extra innings. I know they're called extra innings.
Way to save time by clarifying.
Yeah. So. So anyways, next story. So we talked about this last week, and James said he wanted it. He wanted it so bad. He wanted vertical farming.
Yes.
He wanted gigantic towers that reach into the skies that – you know, you know, million-acre farms in the size of one skyscraper. Well, Singapore is delivering.
I love it.
This is the birth of vertical farming. They are totally doing it. I will say this. It's sort of a small step. The towers are like 9 feet tall and
really?
A couple feet in diameter. But, hey, the point is.
Wait, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a prototype.
Yeah,
no,
it's
wait.
A prototype.
They've started working on it. It's a 3.65 hectare farm. I don't know. That sounds
but it's
big.
Like the farm currently has 120 vertical towers. Hopes to increase the number to 300 next year.
Okay.
I don't remember where it said the size.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. I'm like, where does it say the size of it?
I saw that somewhere.
Oh, all right.
Maybe I read it in a different article. Great. I bet I did. Or maybe I just made it up. Who knows? Sometimes I do that. My brain just but
See, that's
the point
awesome for a
was.
place like Singapore, where I don't know if you've ever been to Singapore. Oh, I have.
I have not. Oh.
I'll just take advantage of that. But Singapore is basically a what you would call a city state.
Yeah.
It's technically a country, but it is the size of like San Francisco or maybe New York. I mean, it's large, but it's just a city. That's it, plus a port. I mean, that's a big piece of it. But then that there are no farms, or if there are, they're very, very few on the outstretches of town. So it's just a big city, kind of like Coruscant, but much smaller.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But the beginning of
It
it,
does. It
definitely.
does to anybody who is a true geek, which that is the only type of listeners we have, so that's okay. So to have something like this makes total sense because they can save theoretically on, shipping costs and other stuff. I guess what are they saying? It costs 10 to 12 cents more than vegetables right now from other sources, but eventually someday it'll go down.
It's definitely, when land is a problem, this is the way to
I love
go.
it. I love it. It's great. And the other cool part about it is that people will be able to do
Whoa.
weird experiments inside of closed doors and will never know about. It'll be great.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Wow, okay, these are actually serious, 'cause a hectare hectare is a 1,000 square meet no 10,000 square meters. So this is a 30,000 30 36,000 square meter farm in 120 different things. So this is actually
So,
these are
some
pretty
quick
these must be
division.
pretty big.
How bigger is each tower?
So obviously I made that up. I don't have any idea where I got that number.
It's okay.
36,000. So this is, I'm busting out my calculator. So it's about 300 square meters. What is that? Maybe not.
I know where we're
Maybe I
going.
didn't make this up. It's 10 meters on, it's a little over, it's like 17 meters on a side.
That's not small.
No, not at all. I
Plain.
mean, that's big. But it's the beginning of the future, which is pretty exciting.
Yes,
That's
that's the
what I
important
wanted to.
part.
I
I love
couldn't
it.
believe that I was like, I read that article on like Tuesday, like right after we got done talking about it. So I was like, whoa, I gotta throw this one in there. James will like this.
I do like that. That's sweet. That's very cool.
Definitely.
Very cool. So I'm gonna bring this back to not hoax, but this idea of fact checking and getting real dependable information on the internets. Which, if you want to know something, where do you turn to research a fact?
Wikipedia.
Yes, thank you. And Wikipedia is running into a little bit of a problem here, which is kind of a strange, interesting one. Which is, there's this idea that, so Wikipedia has editors, volunteer editors, right? Where their job is to go in and write articles or do research and then, put it on the website for others like you and me to use for whatever we use it for, right?
Right.
And it is highly dependent on those editors. Well, the problem that Wikipedia is running into is that, they've been doing it for a couple years now. And I don't know the last time you've been to Wikipedia, but it's very rare that there's a subject that's not covered by Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And typically it's because, like, if you went to the Giants Wikipedia homepage, it might already have the ninth inning score.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where it's like, we're talking a matter of minutes, right? Behind those types of current events. So,
Right.
all that to say, these volunteer editors have done an excellent job of writing about almost everything. And then what they've done is they've done a really good job of hitting like the big broad topics. Those are like completely done. There's at least some sort of general overview about everything that would make sense to be put on the Wikipedia. I will note that there is nothing about me, and I don't think there's anything about you, but that's okay.
You know, not for lack of trying, though. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I've actually gone so far as to make a Wikipedia page for myself and put a bunch of content in there and got it deleted because turns out they're not down with it. You actually have to be semi-famous, and I was only pretend semi-famous.
That's rough. Okay, so here's the deal. Is that they have covered so many topics now that the only things left to write are, quite frankly, boring things. It's adding details to articles or correcting errors as opposed to creating whole new articles, except for rare occasions where, you know, some vice president comes out of the blue and all of a sudden everyone's like, all right, time to do some research and find out about this person or something like that. So the problem is that these volunteers are getting bored. They're just like, well, whatever. It's not as much fun to write anymore, so I'm out. And the problem is, obviously, if enough people decide not to contribute anymore because it's, you know, boring and hard, it does risk some sort of atrophy. And, you know, because believe it or not, information does get old and people do go in and edit things. And if you don't have editors to, you know, to kind of watch over it all, you could eventually run into, you know, some big problems. And then even then, it's like, that's still not fun to go in and fix errors that other people introduced. So Wikipedia is in this very weird, like, they're in this weird problem where, wow, you've done such a great job of covering everything. The only things left are, like, really esoteric types of facts that honestly people don't really care about, or they're extremely difficult to get a hold of. And so,
right.
Yeah, it was, it's very interesting. It's weird.
I wonder if that's the sort of thing that you'll find is that there will be this weird slump period where the people who were really, really big contributors early on that wrote articles that big time editors will be replaced with people that actually enjoy the management side of it. I wonder if this world is big enough where there's actually, you will find a group of a few thousand individuals who are willing to kind of monitor and manage it. And the only thing I could think is that you'd almost have to become, you know, what they'll probably end up doing is locking down, you know, if it becomes smaller and smaller, they'll start locking down more and more pages where you have to be, you know, have to meet some threshold of an editor before you're allowed to edit, you know, because right now I think they pretty much only have, like, these are locked pages and these are unlocked pages. They might come up with different schemes of, you know, obviously, like, the page for Christianity is locked. It's just nobody except, like, their highest, you know, rungs of editors are allowed to play with that one, because otherwise it would just be, you know, it's be constantly under attack, and that's been that way for a long time. But I wonder if they'll come up with a system for where it's like the Laplace transform will be locked for level three editors and above can edit it. And maybe you'll have like seven levels of editor where level sevens are guys that have been around, have been doing it for a really long time. They're the great ones. They're the ones that can edit any page. But you're like, level one is when you sign up to edit, you can, you know, log into Wikipedia. You're like a level one. And, you know, you can't, you know, so like the really fringe articles can still be handled by your level ones who are kind of working their way up, you know, editing articles. Their edits aren't getting, or they're getting reviewed and they're not getting deleted. So eventually you pop to a, you know, yellow belt, you know, a level two editor. I wonder if they'll do something to that state where, you know, the entire thing will become this different levels of, these articles are locked, these articles aren't locked. And so it almost becomes a competition, and not necessarily a competition, but it's a more exclusive club. And the reason why I wonder if they'll do that is because that's way more manageable. Because now you're not talking – now you're – you know, the reason why it works the way it does is because they have so many editors that are so good that it's like the articles that – are open to be edited, there's enough people to actually look over it, verify the facts, and move on where nothing survives for more than a couple hours if it's not true. Unless it's just constantly being changed by a flood of people, which those are the ones that they lock down. So I wonder if they'll get to the point where it's like, no, they're just certain. It's like the Giants. There's certain articles that, no, you got to be a level four to get in on this one, and because these are people we trust, and their edits can actually stay up online for a day or two before five, six, or seven checks it out and makes sure it's a valid edit. Just something like that, just to make sure that it's that there's I gotta believe that what they're not gonna let Wikipedia atrophy. They're gonna realize that there's a problem and they're gonna do something to manage it. And I guess it's just gonna be a transformational thing. I wonder if what's his name, the dude that started it, if he'll be able to captain the ship through it. They might need a different CEO. They might need a different a different. I don't know, who knows? That'll be
Yeah,
interesting to watch, though.
no, definitely. One of the this guy said he had a which I'm kind of like, this seems like a short-term solution. But one of the editors was like, well, here's my solution. He said that Wikipedia is now a mature reference work with a stable organizational structure and a well-established reputation. Believe it. The problem is that it is not mature in a scholarly sense. Wikipedia should devote more resources towards getting editors access to high-quality scholarship, i.e., like the JSTOR databases, admission to military history conferences, and maybe even training in the field of historiography, so that they could bring the articles up to a more polished professional standard.
Right. And well, and I think the reason why he's saying that is that he's literally saying, number one, give people a reason to stay around, but number two, allow them to lock off even more and more and more articles. Because anything that requires a real professional, we're gonna lock these down and say these are done articles. And then, and then move on to so they can manage it with a smaller group. It entices people to stay around in a serious fashion, and it allows them to, man, I gotta believe that that's why he would do that. That probably would help. But now you're talking where my solution didn't cost any extra money. His solution is very expensive.
Well, and it's funny, I mean, and definitely his comes from the standpoint of an editor who's not trying to keep the company solvent.
Right.
He's trying to be like, well, if you want to keep me interested, here's what you got to do. I was like,
Yeah, which
oh.
Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia, he's very interested in keeping it around as a viable business, because it's not only is it is you know what feeds him, it's his lifelong goal and dream. It is his gift to humanity. He thinks he doesn't look at Wikipedia as a he doesn't look at Wikipedia as this cool project he once did. He looks at this as this will be his legacy for the next, 400 years. It's the official collection of human knowledge. It'd be
Dude,
like,
well, when I think about like, I mean, it's the, what was that thing called? In Star Wars, where they're able to go to the database and like look up information, the archives, is that what they called it?
yeah, something like that.
I mean, that's basically, I think of that as Wikipedia. And where, yeah, it's an archive of everything. I think it's weird that there's no videos and very little photos involved in it. It's mostly text, and I could see that as honestly that being the next step in its evolution. Would be kind of cool to be able to see, like, yeah, you know what? I don't know, like the Martin Luther King Jr. "I Have a Dream" speech. I'm sure it has a text there, but it'd be awesome. Here's an embedded video, the best one we could find.
Right.
It's
Well, I
hosted by
wonder
us. We're not dependent on YouTube. You can just watch the video.
That is a completely different beast, though. I mean, I think that would be definitely cool, but I could see how they look at that and say that's the sort of thing that would take their servers from, X to X squared. I could see
Well,
how that would
I
just
wonder
be.
if they ever get to a point where, I don't know, and this—I mean, this is the kind of craziness that Google would do, where they go, "Hey, Jimmy, Will's my friend. We think this is a good idea. We are willing to dedicate some of our servers to your project to host video content, via YouTube, of course, because that's our mechanism, Heck, they might even choose to white label it for them. I don't know. And say, so that you can embed videos and we'll let you do pictures too or something. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I could also see it potentially, and I think you'd have to wait until after Jimmy Wales dies, but something, a government comes in and says, hey, we're going to fund this with tax dollars because we believe this is a public good. And, you know, our schools are now actually using it and accepting it for papers, and we don't want it to go anywhere. We want to make sure that it remains unbiased, blah, blah, blah. So we are apportioning some tax dollars towards it, and we are, you know, going to let other countries participate too or something. I don't know. International Space Station-like type of thing. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I could definitely see those types of discussions going on.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question because it's definitely, you know, the dream that was Wikipedia has become its own, you know, it is a beast, and it's positioned itself, you know, that for how many topics out there do you Wikipedia or do you Google the topic and the top result is a Wikipedia article, or, you know, Siri, that's like its trick is that it goes to what's it called? Wolfram Alpha, and Wolfram Alpha queries Wikipedia. You know, these are the future of, like, this is where knowledge is. This is where knowledge goes, and it will be fascinating. You know, did you know that you can download like all of Wikipedia?
Yeah, I think I did know that.
It's nuts. That's so cool. Print out the internet for me. If somebody asked me, seriously wanted me to print out the internet for them, that would be my tactic. I would print out Wikipedia. I would download, print out Wikipedia. probably not the best. But, so, interesting conversations, but,
so, wasn't the only just want to let you know.
I know.
Okay.
Say it.
Just want to let you know, it's top of the 10th right now. Score is currently 4-3.
What? 4-3?
Just want to let you know that.
Wait. Who's 4? The Tiggers?
Oh, man. It's hard to tell. Well, who starts at the top? You tell me.
Well, yeah, but it's... Okay, so... Okay, Google is freaking out on me because the top has been the Tigers all night long. Sorry. Oh, jeez. Away team. Bats first.
I love technology. Yeah, so, who's the away team?
The Giants are the away team.
Well, then that answers your question.
Google's showing... Just say it. Don't make me guess. Because Google's showing it as Giants have zero.
Zero what?
MLB is their...
Well,
their...
my ESPN Game Center says that they just scored a run. It
what
was
the heck?
So Sakaturo MLB, singled to center. And R... Therot scored. So there you go.
Okay.
Jeez.
ESPN.
I trust ESPN over Google.
Okay, MLB finally updated. Yeah, you're right. Oh my gosh.
That's good,
intense.
Right?
That is great. That is fantastic news. They're going to sweep them in 4. I can feel it.
Dude, that's pretty amazing. Because wasn't there a point in time where, like, they were on the cusp of getting knocked out?
Point in time, it's happened like 17 times in the last month. they were down in, okay, the last series, they were down like 3-1 of 7. They had to win 3 games in a row, and it was the second, the first 2 rounds of the series, there was 6 elimination rounds, so they had to win every game 6 times in the last 2 series. It's insane. Wow. It's just, it's absolute insanity, and the Tigers...
They like a little bit of, you know, dramaticas to go with it.
Yeah, that's how these guys roll, man. It's nuts. And the Tigers swept the Yankees in 4.
Yeah, that's right, they did, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, which the Yankees weren't great this year, so that's not necessarily like, ooh, that's super
Derek Jeter got hurt, too, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was part of the Yankees' problems. And, oh, man... I mean, yeah, it's like the Nationals were like the best, were one of the best teams, the Washington Nationals, the Tigers are one of the best teams, like, and the Giants have just been like, guys have been hurt and out and just been nuts, and they were like down, like they didn't even see a chance, like, I mean, just, it's crazy, it's absolute insanity that they are where they are at. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Wow. Holy cow.
So
I wish I was in San Francisco right now.
Oh, I know. I understand. So here's what I think I want to do.
Okay.
Obviously that was we had some interesting cool stories. You just had a commercial baseball break, and now we're back. I think what I want to do is I want to start with your Friday night experience.
All right. So Friday night, some people go out to the clubs. Some people go and see movies like Cloud Atlas or Looper.
Here Comes the Boom. I saw that, and that was awesome.
I want to see that one. That one's pretty good,
really
too.
It's really good.
I believe it. But I did not do those things. I took one of my cousins with me. I dragged him along. And we went to go check out Windows 8.
You took one for the team. Windows... I like it. I appreciate that.
Oh, man. You know, honestly, like, I thought it was like, I thought go Friday night, you know, be nice and quiet. You know, it's an OS launch on a Friday night. Who's going to go? It was nuts, man. It was
really
insane in the Microsoft store. Yeah, it was just like, and it wasn't like fake insane where they've got like 30 employees and so it feels big. No, they had like 30 employees and they like couldn't keep track of each one of them was like managing three customers. I mean, it was crazy in there. Yeah, and they had the whole setup. They had the Surface tablets all, you know, they had like a bunch of Surface tablets, and they were all being used. And they had a ton of computers all over the place for people to sit down and play with the new Windows 8. So I went in, and obviously, like the Surface is what everybody's all, you know, going for. So
totally.
There was like no seats. So I decided, well, I want to play with Windows 8 because to me that's the
have
that's
you
gonna be...
played with it previously to tonight?
No, this. That's not
or
fully true.
Friday night?
I have played with it really briefly.
Okay.
So this is my first, like, you know, I'm going to mess around with it big time.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down at this laptop, and I started playing with it, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, like, I felt stupid. This nice girl, she comes up, and she's like, "Yeah, you need any help?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. How do I make it do things?"
Make it magic.
Yeah, exactly. And because I'm like moving the mouse around, she goes, "Well, first off, don't use the mouse or the trackpad." I was like,
"Oh,
what
that's
am I supposed
counterintuitive."
To, yeah, what am I supposed to do if I don't use the trackpad? She's like, "Just touch it." I was like,
"Oh, that's
what?
Cool."
I'm sitting at a laptop, and yeah, so it's like a whole capacitive touch screen on the laptop. I was like, nice. So I'm like playing with it, and my first thought was, this is stupid. Number one, that you've got a trackpad but I can't use it. Number two, like, what about the whole ape arm things? Like, my arms are going to be sticking out. And it was funny. I decided, I was like, well, if this is how I'm supposed to use it, I'll try it. I'll give it a real go.
Mm-hmm.
Instinctively, you put your elbow on the table and you use it. Actually, it was really nice. I thought to myself, you know, if I were going to buy a new computer with Windows 8, it would absolutely have to be one with a touch screen because it was nice. I mean, like, I could do stuff with it long term and my arms weren't getting tired, you know, and I think.
And as
you know,
so what, you, the monitor was how far away from you?
Oh, just, you know, be sitting at a laptop, so at a table. So
okay.
Probably.
All right. Laptop, know. Table, pretty close. Because I'm thinking about my desktop right now. If I were to, in order to do that, I'd have to lean in each time to mess with it, which maybe I could do. I don't know. Could I lean back? That'd be kind of awkward. Maybe I just wouldn't.
You know. Well, the thing is it's like, you know, obviously for certain programs, like if I'm doing any engineering work or graphic design, I'm going to have my mouse and my keyboard playing games, whatever.
Totally.
Like,
you're not going to be in the modern UI anyways.
Right, exactly. That's what my thought was. And the biggest concern I would have is it's like if I have an external – I like to have it set up where I've got my gigantic 27-inch external monitor plugged into my laptop, and I keep my laptop actually positioned just behind the screen, and then I have a wireless mouse and keyboard that I use, and
mm-hmm.
So my laptop monitor is a secondary monitor, and it's way far back, and I would find that difficult. I don't know what I would do about that, but I'm using Windows 8 Pro, so I've got the full blown, you know, regular desktop environment. So I played around with that a bit. the thing is, and I really wish, I think they'll change this. But my experience Friday night was at the laptops I was using. They got a trackpad, but it's not like one of the super unbelievable, amazing Apple trackpads. It's a just a regular old trackpad, where a you know where it's not a second multi-touch surface. But I think what they were to do, if they were to have a really nice trackpad, really nice multi-touch surface, you could do all of the gestures on it as though like flipping from the sides and stuff to bring up all the different UI elements that you need to use.
That'd be
I actually
cool.
think that would I think that would work pretty well. I think that there's definitely potential there. And I you know overall I got used to it really quick, but I get used to that sort of thing really quick because I get super excited and I try out everything and I'm flipping around and learning everything. So for me, in about 20 minutes, I felt very comfortable navigating around Windows 8. The problem was is that if I asked any of the employees for something, like our cousin asked the question, he goes, "Hey, how much RAM is actually in use by just Windows 7?" So obviously, okay, I want to pull up
By
this information.
Windows 7, 8.
Sorry, Windows 8.
Okay.
Yeah, and so this just as he's asking, this employee comes up. I'm like, "Hey, I got a question. How do I pull up like system resource information?" Because I figure I'll ask him, have him show it to me. And he starts going into like system preferences and my computer, and he's like clicking on different stuff. And like, I didn't want to stop him at that point, but my first instinct would have been to hit Control Alt Delete. Go to the task manager and see if it's there. He spent like 5 minutes looking for it, never tried Control Alt Delete, and he kind of came back and I don't really know. And I was like, "Well, let me try this. Control Alt Delete task manager, flip to the tab, boom, it's right there." I was like, "Timmy, it takes about two gigs of RAM resting." And the guy was like, "Oh, that was neat." I was like, Yeah, it really is. But my concern is, it's like you've got employees. These are smart people who know what they're doing, and they're not totally comfortable with it yet. They're still trying to navigate their way around it and figure it out. So I think that could be a problem for Windows 8. Everybody's saying that, so maybe education will be, real. They'll really be on top of education. I don't know how you would use it though. At this point, I don't know how you would use it without a touch interface.
Okay.
It was really nice, but they gave me this little discount thing. I can get Windows 8 for $14, upgrade from Windows 7, which is very Apple-esque. I mean, that's the Apple's big trick to get widespread adoption has been like $30 upgrades, $14 upgrades. So I mean, Microsoft, they're out the gate. They want to get people upgraded to Windows 8. And I was like, "Sweet, I'm going home tonight and getting Windows 8. $15, I can do that."
I got a friend where that's
And then I
exactly what he did. And he was like, "Well, I'm upgrading." And his was a desktop Firebird HP.
Yeah, see, nice. So I am I I thankfully have till February to think about this, but I found that, or my first thought was, if I can't, if my if I can't don't have a touch screen, I don't think this is going to work for me. As cool as it would be, and it uses more Windows 7 at rest uses a little over 1 gig of RAM, which means that I've got 7 gigs of RAM left over to do all sorts of crazy intensive work. And so there's
I
it
think you
wouldn't
should
be
do
a big
it
deal
just for
for
the
me.
podcast. I'm just saying.
Oh man, I don't. I will definitely think about it. I have till February. I'm not going to do it
Oh,
this
you had until
month.
February?
I know they. Yeah, they're
Jeez.
giving. I mean, they're going to get serious about trying to get people to upgrade, which
If they were
I think is
serious,
a really good thing for them.
February?
Yeah.
I would have been like, "You've got a month."
Yeah.
Give
Well,
people
yeah.
some time. Or some time constraints, otherwise, wait until February? Are you kidding me? Whatever. All right.
Well,
Game
I'm
over, just so
surprised
you
that
know.
they. I. Did they win?
We have some new champions.
That's super.
Dude,
I need to
overtime,
even go to see
four
where this
to
is going.
three. That's
I
amazing.
need to. This is super. I am. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is painful. Two series in a row, I didn't get to see them win.
That's awesome. Giants win World Series. You heard it here, not first. But you still heard it here.
Yeah, really. This is painful. This is painful. Okay, you know what? I can't even think about it.
Go ahead. Just get the scream out right now. Just be like, yahoo, yeah. Go ahead. It's all right.
Well, I don't want to scream. I'm frustrated. I can't believe. Why'd they have to win so fast? Come on, guys. Lose one. Let me enjoy it with you. Talk about looking a gift horse in the face, but.
Well, we appreciate you being on the podcast, hanging out with us.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that you appreciate it. Anyways.
So on a scale of like 1 to 10, what's your first impressions?
That's difficult. That's a difficult one. I don't know. My excitement level for it is pretty high, 6 or 7. I'm excited about it.
Oh, okay.
Because they do a lot of things that I appreciate, like, you know, a really deep integration of .NET and stuff like that. You know, the deep from an user interface. You know, and the tiles look nice. I'll be honest. The tiles are cool. I mean, like, you know,
totally.
they're basically icons, but with a little more dynamic, you know, changing of stuff. And I downloaded Chrome and ran it on their laptop, which I love the fact that Chrome has basically broken Windows so that you can load it and run it without administrative privileges, because I get to use it. Because honestly, that's the other thing, is the Internet Explorer is still awful. It's still horrible. I hate it so much. So I went, and so the pro version is really nice. I could totally use the pro version. Especially if I had to, I wouldn't complain about it. I want to figure out a solution for kind of touch screen stuff before I get, before I get too deep into it. But I could see upgrading it to it in the next couple of months, if for no other reason than the fun of it. Actually, that's pretty much the only reason I would do it, because that's the only reason there is for me. That's the biggest struggle that they have, right? It's for the fun of it at this point. There's not a lot of perks to doing it other than having the latest operating system. They're not like Apple, where you like basically all of your programs, all of your Apple-based programs become useless the day the new one comes out because they stop updating them. They just forget you. Microsoft is so good about reverse compatibility and whatnot that you don't feel left behind. Then I went over and I waited, and you know,
is it
I tried
possible
not to, get too
pushy. To like to I'm just gonna cut you off. Is it possible to use Windows 8 mainly in the desktop mode and just kind of ignore the modern UI part of things? Is that possible? Because I just think like, you know, okay, I got a laptop that obviously doesn't have a touchscreen. Because it's whatever, it's work computer, it's not top of the line. You know, I and I'm mostly going to be using work related stuff on it. Because I feel like most of the complaints come from this modern UI, which,
yeah,
we'll see how long that name lasts. Metro was so much better, but whatever.
It was such a great name. They just should have just dropped 10
yeah,
mil and
just
settled it.
It's a shame. But anyways, you know, if I could just kind of ignore this modern UI, that would be kind of cool. Because I feel like that's where a lot of the consternation comes in. It's this modern UI. It's weird. It's different. It works a lot better with touch. And then you have this like flippy thing back and forth between the desktop and the tiles. And I mean, like, we were at Staples this weekend, and they had Windows 8 on display, and so I put my wife in front of one of them and said, tell me what you think. And she had the classic response. She was like, what do I do? I was like, I don't know. Let's try to surf the internet. She was like, okay, how do I do that? And I was like, Internet Explorer. Click there. You know, so she does. Yeah. She kind of, you know, she was like, all right. She tried it, and then this is my best part. Turns out it's not connected to the internet, which makes running Internet Explorer really dumb.
Staples. Just why even try?
I don't know. So she goes, okay, how do I get out? I'm like, I don't know. Why would I know the answer to that? She did eventually, though. She found the Windows button, hit it, plopped her back in. She was like, okay, cool. So she figured that out on her own, which I was like, awesome, cool.
Yeah.
And then she got to the desktop, and I was like, here, try to run. I was like, open up like Microsoft Word or something, which they didn't actually have it installed on that, which, again, you're like, what are you guys doing? You know, do you not notice? Whatever, whatever. I mean, it's an Office store. Let me try that. So, you know, she goes to the desktop, and she's like, well, where's the start button? I was like, well, you were just technically there on the modern UI. And she was like, what? No. And I was like, well, so anyways, it was fun. I feel like it's a steep learning curve, but something she would eventually get used to. But it's the flipping back and forth where people struggle. But if I could theoretically, you know, get it so I can just kind of ignore the modern UI except for times when I want to have a full screen app or something like that, you know, I could see that working, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I feel like Windows RT, that should have been the product, and then they should have had like just the latest version of Windows 7 as a separate product. Well, that's my opinion.
The only thing is, and I gotta say this, is that it's really gonna push those touch screen laptops, and it was nice. I actually, if someone were to say to me, I'm thinking about getting a Windows 8 laptop, and I would ask, is it gonna have a touchscreen? If they said yes, I'd say go for it. It was really nice. It was cool. And, you know, the nice part about the Metro UI is that it's very convenient, you know. It's basically like a more complicated taskbar. And I could see, like, if you're just going to be surfing the internet, messing around on your computer, it's great. It's cool. I shrug my shoulders and I say, you know, I could totally see why you would do that. Now, if you weren't going to be doing that, if you were going to be using, you know, and if you're going to do more hardcore stuff, go over to the desktop. I get it. I guess is what I should say is, like, I was there for 20 minutes, and everything that ever I've heard about it, about what it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to work, I get it. It works. It's what it is. The problem is going to be if anybody tries to do one thing or the other. And this brings me to the RT tablet.
Tell me about that.
So
now, did you actually get to try Surface?
I did. Oh, I sat down cool. and played with Surface. I waited in line, and I played with it for about 10-15 minutes, as long as I could battle off the hoarding crowds. you know, first thing I did is I took off the keypad, because I wanted to try it without the keypad. Just, you know, let's use the real touch interface stuff. It was, you know, it's bulky. It's actually kind of a weird form factor. Huh. It doesn't respond to your like turns and whatnot, but it's not bad. I could totally see, you know, if you've got a really powerful computer, once again, I kind of get that idea that it's like, you know, you're gonna take it with you. It's a full blown computer to take with you. It runs all the cool modern apps, whatnot. Blah, blah, blah. You know, everything that they've been saying, it does what awesome. It's supposed to do.
Blah, blah, blah.
The biggest problem, and until they let Chrome into the App Store, I can't even pretend to get one.
Why is Chrome such a mandatory deal?
Because, or it doesn't need to be Chrome. It could be Firefox. It could be Safari. But until you have a modern browser, I'm not going to be able to survive with Internet Explorer. It just is not going to happen. And I give it a try every single time. I sit down and I use it. And, you know, it's just, oh, it's so frustrating, so irritating. But one of the big things with RT is that it's, you know, it's the classic, it's, you know, they, you know, it's the apps, you need to put all the apps in there. And, you know, it's like, so right now, you know, my bar, we'll give you my dock bar right now. I've got iTunes, I've got the Kindle e-reader app. Okay. They've got that VLC. They don't have that in the store yet. I've got GIMP. They don't have that in the store yet. I've got FileZilla for my, FTP client.
Well, and they would tell you that it's not designed for using, you know,
I know,
editing photos, but to that level. Or
their argument is that it is a full blown computer, that it is a professional computer in a tablet form, and it's just clearly not at this point. I think it will become that.
Are you
over
sure
time.
They're making that statement? I feel like that they weren't saying that with Windows RT.
what's his name? I don't know. This statement out of Ballmer's mouth this week was, I haven't seen a computer or a tablet on the market yet that really appeals to anybody because you can't really do anything productive yet. So is he lumping his Surface tablet in there with it? Or was he, you know, no, I think he was talking about the fact that Apple doesn't allow you to do serious productivity with their tablet, whereas ours has a keyboard and can do serious productivity, which is just not true. It can't yet. I think it will get there. It's just sort of – it's definitely, you know, which comes first, chicken or the egg. And right now the egg ain't, you know, or, you know, the chicken's there, but there's no reason to buy it. There's no – so they definitely have a problem there. That's – and maybe people will be so excited about the new Microsoft tablet that, you know, it would be kind of like the iPad effect where – people were just so excited about the iPad that there was mass adoption, and it really didn't matter that there were no apps yet. It just people wanted in; they wanted to be the early adopters, and maybe they'll get that sweep up with the Surface. And I think as long as they really internally just totally hit the .NET platform crazy hard, and they really show what it could be like if you make great apps, which is Apple's, you know, it's the Nintendo trick, it's the Apple trick. We'll show you what a good application or a good game or a good app looks like, and then everybody else can come in and slowly meet or surpass our apps. And then every once in a while, Apple will make an app like a podcast app that's a major step backwards. Still better. But as a product, I want to try out the Pro Surface. I think that'll be pretty cool. I think it has potential to actually be a computer that I wouldn't mind owning.
Totally agree.
Definitely wouldn't want. Yeah, definitely don't want the RT version. And the touch sensitive keyboard was terrible.
Really?
I couldn't type worth beans on it. And I'm really good at typing. I'm good at typing on the iPad. I'm good at typing on my iPhone. I'm good at typing on a regular board. And the problem is, maybe I would get used
Show
to it.
Off, I guess.
You know, maybe I would. I don't know, maybe I would get used to it. Maybe I just
I'm
have
an
to.
Excellent.
You know, you have to sit there. I know, but I would need their more expensive one with the actual mechanical haptic feedback.
Did you get to try that one
because
too?
I didn't, and that's okay. So I can't totally. But they're like just straight up touch one. I was pretty disappointed, but you know that's their cheap one. I just was really difficult to type with.
$100
you know?
Is cheap for a laptop or a keyboard. All right.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
well,
the thing
is
it's like. So yeah, I know.
And it
so
folds.
You know, well, this is yeah, it doesn't though.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, it's stiff, man. It's stiff as a board.
That's less.
Yeah,
cool.
That's why they had to. That's why they build a kickstand, because that doesn't fold. It just sits there. It just opens and closes. But what I was going to say was...
Was the snap, like, amazing? Because I know they made a big deal about the snap.
The snap was... No. The snap is, like, overly... It doesn't snap very easily. You almost feel like you're going to break it, pulling it apart, and then you put it back together, and it doesn't... I wasn't... But most people aren't going to snap and unsnap it all the time. That you wouldn't do that with this device. You'll either have the lid or you won't.
Though I find when I use an iPad, which is, you know, different, I find I take the cover off all the time. I hate the cover. I don't know how I would deal with that. Thankfully, I don't have an iPad, so I don't have to worry about it too much.
It's first world problems, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I do, and I actually really like this because I. When I play video games and I want to do research, I grab our mom's iPad and I fold it up into the triangle so it's got the real shallow angle, and I can type on that really well. I actually really like that. But you know, it's one of those. We'll see. We'll see what happens with it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I'm not willing to write it off. I don't think the RT is going to be a big hit. I think that it's got some...
But it's more of a software issue rather than a hardware issue?
Yeah, the hardware wasn't bad at all. And I'll be totally honest, I didn't see one laggy screen. I didn't have one computer crash on me. And I'm mean to these things. Like, I don't go easy on them. I open up folders. I flip back and forth. It was very fluid. I was actually very impressed by its performance. It's cool. Well, it's Windows 7-esque. It's not Vista-esque. It right. works. Which, you know, thumbs up, Microsoft, well done. You hit the minimum bar for entry. But yeah, overall, I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun, and you know, I wouldn't complain about having one. And if somebody asked me if they should get one, I'd say go for it. It's the future of the platform. It really is, from a technological perspective. You know, you might see UI changes and stuff, but you know, the only thing I might say is wait till the first service pack comes out, because you know,
yeah.
There are always bugs. It doesn't matter whether it's Apple or Google or Microsoft, and sometimes it's nice to let somebody else figure that out for you.
Totally.
And right. So cool. That's the only thing I would say. But after that,
So wait, before we do that, so did you get a package this week?
No.
You're still waiting. No. I thought you were supposed to get it.
It's sitting in Idaho. It's sitting in Ohio. It's sitting in Ohio. They're so concerned with the presidential election that they have, because they like there's like 13 Ohioans, and the president's just trying to court them for the next 2 weeks. And so like they're not working, and the package is just sitting in Ohio. It's driving me crazy.
Really? Because I was I thought you were supposed to get it by like the 26th or something. But
I was. It's now pushed to an estimated ship date of the 30th, which is Tuesday. But FedEx doesn't even have it in their system yet. It's still marked as, you know what? I'll be totally honest, James. I'll be totally honest. I think I'm going to get it late, quote unquote. But it will be right in the bell horn of when they originally predicted I would get it. I think they lied because they wanted to take my money before the iPad and Surface came out.
That's funny.
I think at this point, unless I get it on Tuesday, I'm convinced that that's what happened. Not that I would stop using Amazon. I've only had great service from them otherwise. But I do think that there was a little bit of panic going on.
All right. And so next week you can give the show and tell.
Yeah, hopefully.
I was just hoping we could have the, you know, the trifecta of the device wars, but that's okay.
I know. But it, right. Yeah, I understand. We still got Google tablets coming out next week.
Are they still going to release it next week, even though their conference got canceled?
No, I didn't know their conference got canceled.
Yeah, so they got an event.
How did I miss that?
They got an event on Monday.
Right.
In New York.
Right. Oh, I did miss that because I hate listening to New York weather. Like, I feel bad for you guys. It's like whatever, but it's just. I live in California. You never talk about storms in California, but no, because it's a storm in New York, I have to hear about it incessantly 24 hours a day until the end of the storm. So I just try to ignore it.
But. Fair enough. So a bunch of tech stuff, I guess, was supposed to go on next week, and they're canceling left and right, Google being one of them.
Oh, really?
And so they canceled their Android event. And one of my favorite authors, M.G. Siegler, he goes, all right, he said, I got three headlines I could go with here. it says,
yeah.
God sees further fragmentation inbound, intervenes. let's see. Mother Nature loves her iPad, proves it. And then Google braces for Category 5 Hurricane iPad Mini.
Oh, baby.
Oh, man. Too much fun. So, yeah, apparently they're not doing their event. So we may not. I don't know what they're going to do.
Dang it. Well, man, I totally missed that. That's not normally the sort of thing that – but I blame the storm. I blame the weather for me missing that announcement.
There you go. So they're missing. Yeah. So, yeah.
But
we'll see. We will see. When you think you know it all in tech, you literally get thrown a curveball. Hey, we'll keep going with that metaphor.
Oh, baby. Yeah. So, what I was going to say, we got done with the Microsoft store. We were pretty pleasantly, you know, pleasant. It was nice.
Cool.
But we decided to go cleanse our palate as it was. And
go back to your
Apple store.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. And but and, if there were, know, if there, just... let's be honest, if there was a Google store, you would have gone there to
oh, yeah.
get your Android fix.
Oh, I got. I don't worry. I went to the Apple store and finished up with the Samsung store, which really should have been the other way around, because I was pretty pleased with my experience at the Apple store. I was pretty pleased with my experience at the Microsoft store. The people at the Samsung store were very nice. They were super helpful, and we'll get to their products a little bit later.
All right. So, by Friday, did they have the minis on shelves?
No. Well, they're not. I guess they're not supposed to be on shelves until November 2nd, until next Friday, which is, I suspected
that. Oh, that's because
that,
you could do the pre-order today and then actually go on sale.
Yeah, pre-order was Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So next Friday I'll go. I'll stop by and I'll go in and we'll check out the iPad Mini. But I did get to talk to a couple of people. They are unbelievably cool in the Apple Store. Just like I sat and our cousin likes going with me to do these sorts of things because I ask questions that are often not really easy to answer, and he loves watching them scramble to try to figure it out until eventually I have to like Google it or do something else and answer it for them. And he likes watching them sweat. So he was really excited about this, and we met this guy. He was like, this guy was on top of it. And we just started talking about like different products that was going on. And he was like, he's been working at the Apple Store for like 8 years.
Wow.
Very cool guy, really knew what was going on in the tech industry. It was good. But he was like really respectful. He's like, no, we're super excited for the Windows guys. Like, we hang out over there. We know the employees. We're friends. And like, it's just, we want them to be successful because, it's not good for anybody if Windows 8 isn't successful. Because if Windows 8 isn't successful, HP and Dell and Lenovo aren't successful, and the whole economy can collapse, and then nobody will buy Apple products. We don't mind them being really successful, especially on the low-end computer stuff. And so just classic Apple, perspective, but very friendly and very encouraging. And like, yeah, man, they're like, and you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, he's not your, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC type guy. It's so funny, though. They were all wearing blue shirts with, like, white text and a plastic, like, nameplate on, like, it, they look identical. You almost can't tell the difference, like, when you're actually talking to an employee. But I don't know, it was cool. They didn't have any new, I checked out the new Retina display, Mac 13 inch iMac, MacBook Pro. Looks super nice. You can't see the pixels.
Crazy. I was reading somewhere that it uses the same types of processors as the MacBook Air, which isn't Retina display, and so there was concern that the performance might actually be lower because it's running a higher resolution screen than the Air.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know. I didn't actually play with it enough to notice that.
Whereas I know, like, the 15-incher, they actually do use, like, a discrete graphics card. And so it's genuinely more powerful machine. But the 13, from what I understood, is the same as the Air.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't matter. I'm not going to buy one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't get a Retina. I actually don't know who the 13-inch Retina display is for. Like, I think if you're like a professional, you're going to go with a 15-inch Retina display, and if you're like just getting the cheapest MacBook laptop that's powerful, you're going to go with the regular 13-inch. I understand that they're like filling out their line and like they're doing. I understand that like clearly what Friday or what Tuesday was. We'll come back around to this. Tuesday was just them filling out the rest of the line, making all the obvious connections so that there's no gaps that somebody else can sneak in on. And so in case somebody wanted a 13-inch Retina display, they have a 13-inch Retina display. I don't think they have any intention on selling any of them, or they just make a great profit margin whether they sell one or seven gazillion. So they don't care how many they sell. They just want complete coverage, which is a good strategy. But I wasn't,
Did they have the new iMac in the store?
They didn't. I was pretty di well. That one's not supposed to come out for like a couple of months, from what I
Oh, that's
understand.
right. That's right.
It's that one's that one definitely got announced early. That was sort of a, I think that was a don't worry, new IMAX coming right before Christmas, so
Which I'm
get your
like,
pocketbooks
I
ready.
don't know. Well, looking at my screen right now, it doesn't look thick.
Dude, well, it's so funny, and it's like it's not actually any thinner at the midsection. It's just thinner on the edges. I don't know. I don't know what the deal with the new iMac is. It's a other than it's a really great update from a physical perspective. I don't get it, but
I understand the better
from a hardware
screen.
perspective, yeah, it's a better screen. It's a nice update. If you were gonna get an iMac, that's the iMac you'll get. And if you weren't gonna get an iMac, they didn't convince you to get an iMac, which is
Right.
normal for Apple. And it's super small on the edges now. Whatever.
Okay,
They got
so
rid of the.
you also finished up going to a Samsung store?
Yeah, so Samsung doesn't actually. They don't have stores built anywhere. But what they've set up is they've set up these like, I'd call them kiosks, but they're like these huge platforms where they set up tables and they all wear blue shirts with white text and plastic name labels. Just like Apple employees, big screens all over the place, and they had all the tablets set up and everything. And we went, and our cousin was wearing San Francisco. He was totally decked out San Francisco gear. So one of the salesmen came over. He just was like really excited, started talking to us. Really nice guy. Talked about how great Apple is and how great Microsoft is. There's a theme here. Suddenly we realized they're all right now. There has to be just like. There's so much tension with the lawsuits and whatnot. They're like, how about y'all just be nice to each other, from like the top of the companies down? Because they couldn't have had nicer things to say about their competition. It was almost weird. But they wanted to show off how great their product was, and he was like
Well,
really
you'll
big
be
about
happy to
like.
know that HP had an event on Friday to also commemorate the launch of, we are HP is Microsoft's biggest partner from a hardware perspective.
Yeah.
So HP had an event. But showing off new products and stuff, it was cool. And they all do look genuinely neat. I don't know which ones are public and which ones are not, so I'll just refrain from talking about them. But
Yeah.
it was funny. This guy who was giving a presentation, he kept, oh my gosh, he kept saying that fruit company or our competitors. And you're like, dude, we all know who you're talking about. Just say their name. Who are you
Yeah.
fooling? Really, come on, grow up a little bit. Just call them by their name. I just thought it was funny. It's almost like by you not saying it, you're making a bigger deal about it. It was like in
Yeah.
because it's such a great example. The movie Beowulf, where
Yeah.
he's got the fight scene with Grendel. The fact that they kept doing like the Austin Powers-esque, oh, we're gonna cover everything up just a little bit. You're
Yeah.
like, you were drawing more attention to it, and this is supposed to be a
Yeah.
serious fight scene, not a comedy Austin Powers. And I just felt like that's what they were ended up doing. And one of the questioners actually, like, he brought that up. He goes, so I got a question about one of those companies that, we're not allowed to mention their name that starts with an A and an M and a G. And you're just like,
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
An
that's
A and
great.
him and a G.
I
Yeah.
was like, oh, that's sweet. But anyways, I just funny side comment there. So HP
Yeah.
still hates everybody and isn't willing to say their name. That was the
Yeah.
point. There it is.
Well, so these employees, they were very nice. They're very cordial. They're great about, being cool. But so we had them show off
Great
this
about being
Samsung
cool.
Galaxy. Sort of said.
I know.
So they had
I
the
liked it, so I
Samsung
repeated it.
Galaxy. They had the Samsung Galaxy tablets on display,
Oh yeah,
and I
man.
picked it up,
The
and it was
future
really
phone. I
sluggy.
mean tablet.
Yeah, I know. It was really sluggy. The animation was
Slugly.
bad.
That might be a new word.
Sluggly. I
Ugly and
know it's
slow.
ugly, and you know what? And you know what? Honestly, that's exactly what it was. It was. I was like new to Windows 8 and was able to figure it out in 20 minutes. I couldn't figure out how to get online with their tablets. And I sat there for like 10 minutes. I couldn't find the browser. Now, maybe that's because I'm an idiot. I won't write that one off completely. I had spent a lot of time playing with other technologies, but I was not impressed. And just kind of offhand. But so this guy came up, and he started showing stuff off. And he was like, oh, this was a really nice guy. He was trying really hard. So I just want to say that he just was dealt a bad hand because he was showing off this tablet. So he opens up this like WordPad application, and he goes, his first question was like, what is something that if you could, you know, what's something if you could change about other tablets, you know, what would you change if you could? And I was like, wireless charging.
Good question. Goes, you're so mean.
And he goes, ooh, that's a good one. I don't know if we have any of those, but let's show off some of the other features. Like,
give
great,
me your,
show
give me.
Me
your second thing you'd change. You're
yeah,
so
exactly.
Mean.
So, yeah. So he showed off the multitasking and
haptic screen.
Yeah, you're right.
Give me 3D.
Hey, if I could change one thing.
Oh man, you're horrible.
Yeah, Timmy liked that one too. He laughed pretty hard.
How about not get damaged if I drop it in a lake?
Right. Yeah. It's yeah. Can survive a volcanic eruption. I don't know.
I just. Oh man, that's good.
Works, doubles
that's
his good. Body armor. So, anyways, so he showed off the multitasking, and you know, it's funny. Like, I get the fact that yeah, it's nice to be able to multitask, and it's kind of cool the idea of being able to watch a video and use the text editor at the same time. Like, if you want to take notes and whatnot, like that's legitimate. Like, that's kind of a cool feature. The problem is that it's.
I
like,
do like the multi-app window thing, which I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, and it'd be cool if Apple could include that, especially for certain apps. Where like it would be
that'd
nice
be
to be able
so
to have like
hard,
a
but...
it would be well like on the iPad though it would be pretty cool if you could have like a notepad comes in superimposed. That would be nice, like, you know, if you wanted to, like, you could flick a certain way and like you could just open up Notepad on top of any other application. Certain things like that would be cool, but it's not necessary. And the performance of the tablet dropped really quickly, and it was, you know, and he opened up like a third window, and it just became impossible to use any of them at really quickly. Like, I sat there and I go, okay, that's neat, but it's not going to sell me on it, especially because the performance is so bad. But he showed off this like text editor program. He was like, yeah, it's really cool. Like it does handwriting recognition. So
that's
he
cool.
writes out, he goes, he writes out Go Giants and it automatically goes Go Giants. Like, oh, nice. That's, you know, that was cool. And then he goes, and it also does voice to text, and he hits this button and he goes, the Tigers are the worst. And it like pops up the text right on top of the Go Giant text. Like, they're superimposed.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
That's weird.
And so he was like, oh, I meant to hit a space. And I was like, you have what? To hit a space? Yeah. So he's fighting with it. And he's really good. He's talking to us about, you know, Tigers, Giants. Like, he's getting, you know, he's talking about the game. Like, while he's like fighting with this thing, and I'm just watching. Go, this is awful. Well, after like a minute of him trying to like distract us, he finally just goes, well, let me just show you the voice to text. So he hits space this time, and then he goes, the Tigers are the worst. And then he comes up with, like, I can't remember what it exactly was, but it was like, Tigers like bratwurst. And you're like, what?
Wow, that's so rough.
Oh, I felt so bad. And he was like, it's kind of loud in the mall, you know.
Oh,
but it's
yeah.
really good when it's quiet out. And you're like, yeah, definitely. It's great when it's quiet out. You know, I was just totally disappointed by it. I was like, oh, man.
Oh,
we tried to go to the
funny.
Sony store. But my cousin was like, look, you already checked out the Windows 8 tablets. These are just the Sony versions of them. I was like, yeah, but it's the Sony versions of them. We'd already been there for like an hour and a half, so I took pity on them.
You relented.
And,
fair enough.
We left.
Next Friday. Next Friday.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going back. But, yeah. But
you know what you need
so
to do? I'm just saying it. Just going to put it out there. Just put it out there for everyone to hear this idea. You need to buy yourself a smartphone like this so that when you go, you can take video and do a review and post it.
This is a good idea.
Thank you. You got an iPod Touch. That does video, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the camera's awful. The camera's really bad. Oh. It's like a 2.5 megapixel old school. It's kind of disappointing.
Get the latest Nexus phone and start taking some videos.
Not my Samsung 3GS, G3S.
Yeah, apparently.
3SG. Yeah. Well, I didn't try out the phone. I don't have any comments on the phone. I can only comment on the Friday night was a tablet night. But this kind of all brings, that was my experience with Windows 8. It's pretty cool. I liked it. But that wasn't the only thing that happened this week in the slugfest that is the tech world. What'd you think about that little toy that Apple, that fruit company came out with?
Yeah, that starts with an A, not the film company.
That fruit company, when you say that fruit company, that definitely sounds like, you know,
trying to
like
insult
you could get in trouble with HR. Like,
you can't say that.
It's homophobic, man.
Yeah. Whatever, you know.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah. So what did I think about it? You know, I do not, how do I want to say it? If all that it's going to do is shrink down regular tablet apps, I don't want one. But if developers have an opportunity to make specific apps for the smaller screen, okay, I'm a little bit more interested. I don't know. I'd have to hold one. I know that I played with some of the 7-inch screens, you know, like the Nexus 7. I realized that the aspect ratio is different, and so therefore it's a technically bigger screen or something. But having played with the Nexus 7, that's a really small screen. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's small. And it works. I mean, I could see that, but I don't know. That's a really small screen. And so if they're taking the 10-incher and shrinking it down to 8 inches, I guess, and they're just shrinking everything down, like the text and the buttons and the keyboard and all that stuff, no, I'm not interested at all. Which it's what it sounds like. That's the default, at least, or how that works. Isn't that exactly what Jobs was talking about? And he's like, you got to have, you know, whatever that's called, sandpaper for your fingers.
I was stunned because that was my exact reaction was like that. I thought, I understand. Okay.
And I didn't, nobody was focusing on that or talking about it. And I was like, I want to play with one to see if it's really that big of a deal. But, you know, I kind of felt like you guys made it the other size and made the buttons those size because you really genuinely felt like that was the size that it was supposed to be. You know, okay, fine. Let's make the 10-inch button smaller then if we can get away with it, apparently, and let's fit more stuff on it. I don't understand, but
I totally understand where you're coming from. I really felt like it was the shortcut of all shortcuts. I understand, like, their biggest problem is it's like they had two screen sizes when it came to iOS. They had the iPhone up until the 4S, the iPod Touch, everything was the same, and they had the iPad. And the only thing that ever changed was resolution. And then they got a little bit crazy in that they introduced the new iPhones, and now you've got three screen sizes.
Yep.
And the problem is that Google, because they knew that they were going to be dealing with all sorts of different screen sizes and whatnot, they did what Microsoft did with their Windows interface and what Apple did with theirs, where it's like you don't build specific UIs for specific screens. You build UIs that expand and contract based on different possible arrangements.
Yeah.
Everything is based on how big stuff is, whereas Apple is, it's all fixed. So you can't just bring things in, and it's not, it's not, when you make a new app or you make an app for a new screen, you have to change everything that's fixed. It's not all proportional and relative.
Which is the reason why the Nexus 7 apps are blown up phone apps. Because of that, which, I mean, I'll admit, I mean, you look at the photos that they took and using the Nexus 7, that's exactly what they've done. And I'm not super interested in that. I mean, there's a few apps where, okay, fine, you can get away with it, like, you know, from a reader standpoint. Like,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, blow it up. I don't care. But I don't know. Yeah, no, it's a huge problem. And so, yeah, they found themselves at the beginning of this year, they were at 2. And they recently expanded it, like you said, to 3, and they didn't want to have to be, you know, it really felt like they didn't want to be targeted as like, oh my gosh, you literally doubled the number of screens that we need to code for, you know, which 4 is not horrible, but it's probably 3 more than any developer would like.
Right, and what I think's going to happen is, this is my thought, I think what's going to happen is that they're going to come out with updates to Xcode, and iOS 7 is going to be really, really sympathetic towards the idea of multiple screen sizes. And what the next iPad mini is going to be an appropriately sized iPad mini. They're going to blow up the UI stuff. They're going to be able to walk on stage and say, we delivered the best iPad, the best 7-inch tablet on the market. It's totally usable. It's the greatest thing that was ever invented. But it had one problem. It was totally unusable because it was too small. And now we fixed that.
I don't know. I
could see them do something like that, you know, and introduce the tablet without changing too much, and it's literally an iPad 2 with a smaller form factor. That's what it is. I mean, and they're unashamedly that's what it is.
Their whole thing once again is it's crazy. It's not, how do I want to say it? Like, I feel like this product was done for two groups of people, neither of which are the actual customer. I felt like, you know, they made a big deal about it shrinking down for the developers because they didn't want developers whining about the fact that you know, oh, we got to do another screen, like we just talked about. But then I also feel like they decided to come out with the iPad mini because of competition, not necessarily because there was a ton of demand for it. And I don't know. If I had to pick one, which one would I get? Man, that one's I think I'd go with a 10-incher, I think. But I don't know if I have a good rationale for that or not.
For me, I haven't played with it yet, obviously. Maybe that's not obvious. I haven't played with the iPad Mini yet. But I have a strong suspicion that I'm going to pick up the iPad Mini, I'm going to play with it for 20 minutes, and I'm going to go to the iPad, the fourth generation iPad. I'm going to be, this is the one I want. I want the fourth generation iPad.
Or are you going to be like, wow, this thing's really huge, big, and bulky. Why did I think I ever wanted this? I mean, is that a possibility? No?
It's a possibility, but I've played with the Nexus tablet. I've played with 7-inch tablets, and I have the same reaction. I'm not thrilled. I'm not super excited. Like, my problem is that I like having things that are overpowered. I like things that are more flexible. I like what I actually use my when I use an iPad, I don't read it while I'm walking in the store. I use it as like an extra screen and
an
extra
phone
tool.
Is for.
Exactly. Well, and that's my thing, is that it's like a really nice phone or iPod Touch or whatever. That's my small screen.
I honestly could see like if you were going out to eat with friends or something, I'll put my phone on the table. I don't have any problems with that. I could see myself not wanting to put my iPad, my yeah, my iPad on the table, but be willing to put my iPad mini on the table for, you know, discussions or, you know, looking stuff up or something. But you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's weird. Here's my other question. Do you think developers will focus on 10-inch first and 7-inch second, or do you think they'll design with a 7-inch in mind and then just let it blow up to the 10-inch?
No, I think, well, at this point, I think that entirely depends on how many of which tablet there are.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, the answer. It's going to be a while before the mini catches up. So,
right.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, be totally honest, my impression of the Windows 7 or the iPad mini, I don't know, that was, my impression of the iPad mini was exactly the same as yours. It's designed for these other groups, and just given the rest of what they did, the only product that they didn't update was the Apple TV. It was the only one
The Mac
last
Pro.
2 months. Yeah, well, they haven't touched that one in like 17 years, so I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah, they've updated so many products, and what I think happened was they decided that people wanted a 7-inch tablet. Obviously, they were going and buying them. Some people want them, and there's a group of people out there that have entirely Apple ecosystems. They have an iMac, or they have a MacBook, and they have an iPad, and they have an iPhone, and they have an Apple TV. But they wanted a 7-inch tablet. For whatever reason, they thought, I want a smaller tablet. And it fits their lifestyle. It's something that they want. But there was no Apple alternative. So they were doing what they hated to do, which was they went out and got an Android tablet. They got a Nexus 7 or they got a Kindle Fire. They got something that fit that niche that they wanted. And Apple was watching customers who would have bought an iPad mini go and buy other stuff and start an introduction and a transfer over to a different ecosystem, which is really important for them to not have happen. And so what I think they did was they just put something on the table that developers could ignore and the competition wouldn't care about because it's overpriced. They're going to make a profit on it no matter what. They're perfectly satisfied with what it is. And if people want it, they'll go and get it. To me, it felt just like the Apple TV. It's a hobby. It fills out a piece of the ecosystem. We don't want people to have to go to somebody else for this product. There's a big enough audience, and there's enough Apple customers to justify the capital expense of figuring out how to build one. But outside of that, if it doesn't sell gangbusters, if they don't sell 10 million of them in the next 2 years, they don't care because I think they really want the iPad to sell. And how you know that is the absolutely what happened? They introduced a new iPad right before it. And it's like, okay, you got the new dock connector. You can't have every other device uses the new dock thing, you know, the new 8-pin dock or whatever. You can't go into the holiday season with one of your flagship products is the only one that uses the old one. I am convinced that that's the only reason that they – well, that's I'm not convinced that's the only reason they did it. They want the iPad Christmas sales, and they thought if they introduce an iPad mini and the iPad refreshes in February or March like it usually does, they're going to lose all the Christmas sales on it. And they want people buying iPads. They want people to go out and get the iPad. They don't want people to get the iPad mini. They don't think that's a good deal for them. They want people to get the iPad and get entrenched with the iPad. They want the iPad to compete against the Windows 8 tablets, the Surface. They want Samsung to just get smashed in the face again and again and again because they can't come up with a tablet that is nearly as nice as Apple's solution. And
so,
I think the iPad mini.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I got a question for you. Totally. Two-part question.
Okay.
Do you think the iPad is now on the fall release schedule?
Yes.
Okay, that's a bummer because I was actually contemplating getting one in March. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I haven't saved up enough yet to pull the trigger today. I agree with you. I was just kind of sad. And so then the follow-up is, do you think there'll be a beginning of the year event. Because it was kind of like iPad / Apple TV.
Well.
I mean, and they just went through
unless there's an Apple TV, there won't be.
Okay. All right.
Unless they're doing a full refresh, and my new buddy who works at the Apple store, who is very well informed on everything, he seemed very, I mean, obviously Apple store employees don't know anything.
Are we talking about the guy who, like, you just were talking to last night? Is that what you mean by when you say new buddy, or new?
My new buddy? Yeah.
All right. I'm just checking. I want to know if you actually had, like, a source, but no.
No. This is not a source. That's why I was clarifying. This isn't a special source at all, except that he works for Apple, and he really pays attention. He was on top of everything. Cool. And he was like, no, there's a full-blown TV coming, and it's coming soon. Which, you know, it might just be the rumor mill that he's getting caught up in, but you'd think a guy who's worked for Apple can tell the difference between rumor mill and...
I don't know, because I was talking to an Apple guy who felt he seemed pretty informed, and this was when the iPad first came out, and I was like, so... And I asked him something about, you know, when they're going to... How did I say it? I made some comment about the fact that they were just going to refresh the iPad the next year anyways, so wait until Generation 2 comes out, and he was like... Oh, I wouldn't be so sure about that. This product strikes me as different. I don't think it'll be on the annual release cycle like the iPhone. I was like, well, we'll see.
What?
He was wrong.
So, yeah.
He worked for Apple.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, I know.
All right, cool. So, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I heard a lot of complaints about the iPad 4, the fourth generation iPad. It's getting updated because, like, oh my gosh, it's only 7 months old. You shrug your shoulders and go, like, first off, everybody else releases stuff on 7 month cycles. Chill out. And number two, they had to do it eventually. It was either going to be a long cycle or a short cycle. And because it's March, a long cycle would have been a year and a half without an update.
Yeah.
It just was not going to happen. They were going to do a short cycle. It was going to be the fourth, fifth, or sixth generation. I don't understand how people weren't prepared for this. You know, and now they put all of their awesome Christmas stuff right before Christmas. You know, and well, it's especially with these mobile products, because they're not like computers. Like, computer sales go up during Christmas time, but the mobile products go off the charts during Christmas time. They treat them like toys. We as a society treat them as, like, you know, like presents. There's something you can get for your kids or your wife or your husband or your, you know, whatever. You know, people who work for the fruit company. that actually could get me in trouble with HR. but anyways.
Okay.
What was I going to say?
I don't know. I think that just about wraps up our overkill coverage of the new tablet space, if you will. The only notable exception, because we got to get the dig in every once in a while, was a certain Canadian company that has nothing to announce at all. We're gonna sit this. We'll sit this season out. We'll be back at you next year. I love it. I mean, at least Google wanted to have an event, right?
Yeah, they're probably disappointed, not excited.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, I love it. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, besides cheering on the Gigantes, anything else going on in your life that's super fun?
Yes, actually. I decided to, I've been trying to pick a project on Kickstarter that I could get excited about,
mm-hmm.
Get excited enough to put money into,
mm-hmm.
and, I bought a new computer.
Whoa.
It's a,
yeah, tell me about it. What's actually so special about this computer?
So what it is this little thing. It's like it was $99, number one. So
is it the Raspberry Pi one?
No. But everybody asked, why should we buy this instead of the Raspberry Pi? And his response was, buy both. Which I thought was a cool response. He goes, no, it's a great little product. Please go buy that. That's good. Just buy ours also. What it is it's super awesome. So how it was pitched is it's like in a computer TV. It's a finished product. A lot of people are using the Raspberry Pi as their, like, they plug it into their TV and they can do internet TV on it. It runs Linux. So it's like, it's a super great little tool that you use for your TV. And he was like, you can do that with ours too. It's pretty awesome. $99. And it'll, like, it looks great and works with wireless devices. It's perfect. And I was like, okay, so what's special about this? And then all of a sudden I realized it has 18 processors.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, okay, wait a second. You have my attention. Let's clarify what's going on here. So what it is basically it's a dual processor computer. It's got like 1 gig of RAM. It's got a memory card. It's got a couple of USB. It's got HDMI out. It's got gigabyte Ethernet. It's like a computer. But the motherboard part of it has this additional board that goes in it that has an additional 16 processors, each running at 700 megahertz, which is the equivalent of, like, if you could get them all running at peak performance, it'd be the equivalent of like a 15 gigahertz processor. I mean, wow. It's crazy. And basically what the idea of this is his argument is, we think the solution to the computing future is multi-threaded programs and right. having everything be multi-threaded. We're not talking four cores on your chip. We're talking 64 cores, 128 cores. That's how we're going to continue this march towards better computation. That's going to get into everybody's computer. And the problem is that there's no programs for it because there's no affordable consumer level product out there. We can't sell, universities don't buy them because where are they supposed to buy them tons of cores that, you know, that they can buy for cheap? And he goes, so our goal is to have a $99 multi-core computer, and it runs Linux, and you can program it with like with C++ and C and all your like base mm-hmm. languages, but it's got a ton of cores, so you can create a ton of threads. Wow. And you can build some really powerful applications that you just can't even pretend to run on other computers. And he's like, so for $99, once you get some programs going for this thing, it's not just going to be a cool internet computer, which, you know, the internet TV computer, which in and of itself I think is worth $99. It's going to be this like crazy powerful, like, you know, tool.
So what are you going to make or download?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to program, what are they called? A finite element analysis stuff. One of the big struggles for engineers is basically like, if you want to do computer analysis, they basically take, they're these massive matrices, like a million by a million matrices of different equations, and you have to do tons of matrix math on it, and it's super slow, and really powerful computers will take hours to do it, whereas this thing could do it in like a half an hour. And so that's what I want to get into, and that's what I'll use it for. Like, it's applicable to my job. It's a great thing to be learning. It's a fantastic tool to learn on. And I can use it to watch YouTube and stuff on the TV. and it plugs into my 27-inch monitor, which is another big selling point. Like, it's very flexible and usable, and I just, you know, I got carried away. I got excited. We got an order at work today, and it's been a few months, and so it's like, on Friday, so I was just kind of like, woohoo, we have money, and I have a job.
Congratulations.
So I got excited. I don't know what else to say it, and but the project, it was like they were trying to raise $750,000, and they got like 900, so they're fully funded.
Cool.
And raring to go, and I should have it in a couple months, but yeah, there's really no good excuse outside of, I think it's a tool that I can use That cool. It's that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
Nice.
It's now difficult to have justified not getting the iPad Mini.
I might have thought
on
about
price
that.
Price point alone. What?
I might have thought that when you told me that. I was like, so you bought the Paperwhite and you spent another $100. Why? What was? That's all right. It's okay.
Hey, you know,
you're allowed to.
I get to keep my job. So, yeah, not everything makes sense in life.
yeah. No, I understand. Very cool.
I'm excited.
That is exciting.
What about you? What have you done?
Dude, I've done nothing. Actually, I've been experimenting more on the sales side of the world as opposed to the engineering side of the world, but just trying to improve my sales skills. So I've been doing some calling up people, and not cold calls per se, but it's as close as you can get to it without it being a cold call. That's been fun.
That's been
exciting. It's a good learning curve.
I take that as a sarcastic, it's actually kind of horrible.
I wouldn't put it in the horrible category per se. I haven't made a sale yet, so that's, you know, that's horrible.
Hey, man. Hey, you know, no, you know, you can't think about it as horrible. This is the most important lesson you can learn. I'm going to impart wisdom.
Thanks.
It's a percentage game. You only get a small percentage of success, and you can't get 10% of a sale, but you can get a sale on 10% of 10 people. So if you do 100 people, you can get 10 sales. That was the big lesson for when we recruited for my fraternity during college. That was the thing that we always said. You can't recruit. You can only recruit percentages.
So if I've already talked to 40 people, how many sales should I have so far?
I didn't say it was I thought it was wisdom.
You didn't say it was evenly spread. Is that the
Yeah.
I've got to imagine that there's a learning curve, and eventually you do hit some skill set where the conversion rate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely not there yet, but so that's been fun. Doing that, making calls. Man, my phone gets really heavy too when it's like, "Oh, I got to call this person." Okay.
You got to get some sweet headphones, man.
It's not the problem. The fun. It's not.
Oh, I got it. I understand what you're saying.
Actually, it was so
emotionally heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was funny. I was the first time I was supposed to. You know, I started doing it, and I fully recognize that I'm keeping this very general, and I'm okay with that. I was you know going to make the call, and I literally did all of the dishes. Did all the laundry, cleaned up the place, organized. I mean, like, I did all the classic procrastination things, so the place looked really nice. And then I made a spreadsheet and color-coded it and, you know, did more procrastination efforts. And then I finally, like, I inputted the number into the phone but still didn't press it yet. I was like, oh, I'm not quite ready yet. You know, I got to review my scripts and make sure I, you know, can say everything. And then on one of the times the phone was fading, and so I tapped it to stop the phone from turning off. I accidentally hit it twice and started the call. I was like, oh no.
Ooh.
Okay. We're going. It's go time. Yeah, I had to leave a message. It wasn't that scary. So I was like, oh, I could do that again, I guess. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. So that's really what I've been up to. Been kind of getting into the science of lawn care recently too, which has been kind of interesting and fun, learning about what it takes to have a pretty yard. Now that I own more than one yard, I'm kind of like, well, I should probably figure out how this thing works instead of just bumbling around. So that's been kind of cool too, learning about different fertilizers and lawn care techniques. And I think tomorrow I'm going to spend the morning watching, like, you're gonna laugh, like, YouTube videos on how to best mow a lawn, which I am sure that there is some. I got the basics. I know that. Okay. But I wouldn't mind. I may not follow the techniques, but I wouldn't mind knowing, like, what do they do to make those baseball diamonds look really nice?
Right.
Besides the whole, like, you know, I am not going to put in 40 hours and it's not going to be a full-time job. I get that. But there are certain weeds that drive me nuts and I'd love to learn how to get rid of them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I've been kind of getting into that, which has been fun.
Yeah,
that's interesting. My boring life.
Hey, man. It's not boring. It's not as exciting as a new computer, but, you know, whatever.
Dude, I would love a new computer. But, okay, but here's the cool thing. Totally personal, and I'm super excited about it. We have a bunch of student loans from school, my wife and I do. And we are paying off the first one next month, which is very, very exciting. So it's going to be cool. We're going to go do something fun to celebrate. Because our whole plan, I can't remember if I've talked about it on here, but the plan is basically after we pay off a loan, instead of immediately snowballing to the next loan, take a month off, take whatever that amount was, and do something fun with it. And so it'll gradually, that'll snowball and get bigger over time.
Right.
But the first one's coming up. It'll be cool. So, well, I think the plan is we'll pay it off in November, save December's to then spend in January. It's kind of the
nice
the way it will work. So it'll be cool. Yeah, there you go. Well, thanks for telling us all your stories about going and visiting the tablets and what your opinions were of them. Obviously we'll have much more to say as we all learn more and get a chance to play with them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Right now they're all kind of new and interesting. So, stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on what we think about that. So cool. Thanks for the initial impressions. And everyone else, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow, and my giant brother is Matthew Furlow. Sorry.
That's mean, man. That's mean. Hey. I'm working out more.
Hey, you know, it's orange and black. That's what I was going for.
Hey, there we go.
That's what I meant by giant brother, and then I just kind of went, yeah. brotherly giant? Did that work?
Let's just go with
my San Franciscan brother? How about that?
You know, I like that one.
All right. So, my San Franciscan brother, Matthew Furlow. Thanks, everybody. We will talk next time.